So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Toy Aisle. Oh, wait, what was that, Kevin?
Yeah, well, actually, not really anymore, Dave, because this is a brand new show, but with the same two old jackasses. This is a new show. Welcome, everybody, to episode one, I guess, technically, of Typical Nerd Talk. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, episode one to all of our new listeners, and yeah, episode 77 to the legacy crew, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, we wanted to just kind of have a name that was a little more encompassing, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it really is perfect, man, because as we've kind of evolved, not just as, you know, friends and talk show hosts, but, you know, as, you know, individuals, when it comes to our collectors, we're like, yeah, we have a lot more in common than just like picking up action figures and stuff. Hey, man, have you seen this movie? Have you heard this song? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? And we're like, you know what? We should talk more about this. And because honestly, Dave, it was birthed out of us sitting in waiting to go live on these things, just shooting the shit all the time. Like, oh, that would be good. We should actually do this on the podcast. And before you know it, here we are. And Dave, I think we need to actually say happy birthday to the podcast. I did not know about this.
Yeah, shout out to Mighty Mouse. I didn't even know about it. He did like a repost. It was in his like time hop or whatever. But 2 years of the Toy Aisle podcast in the book. So it's been fun, man. Here's to two more, dude. So we'll keep on trucking. Hopefully, you know, everyone's enjoying the show. We like it, providing the show. It's just fun, man. It's good times. And speaking of those good times and keeping things rolling, we haven't had a guest in a while. So we wanted to have a guest for our first new show as a typical nerd talk. And also, you know, we're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con a lot. And we wanted to bring in our good bud Gil over at the Geek Out, from the Geek Out show. So what's up, Gil?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Gil Black Hole Comics, host of the Geek Out show. What's going on, guys?
Hello, Gil.
Gil, my man. Yeah, so glad you're able to come on. You know, we were able to connect, make things happen. So yeah, dude, finally on the show, man. We've had a few of your co-hosts, you know, in the past on the show. Shout out Jade. And yeah, we finally got you, man. So welcome. And we're gonna get rolling, baby.
And this is a good thing, because I'm excited to have somebody else just to bounce off of our crazy ridiculousness, because Dave, sometimes it gets a little crazy when it's just you and me, just somewhere talking to the void sometimes.
Sure.
But Gil, it's so good that you're here with us, man.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, man, to actually like see a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
There you go.
I love listening to you guys, you know, and then back when you guys did the live shows, I always tried to catch them live if I could. And if not, I would rewatch it on YouTube if I could. So, yeah.
Well, appreciate it, man. And yeah, again, thank you for coming on. Looking forward to it. So let's kick it off, man, with a little bit of pickups. If anyone's gotten anything, you know, Gil, I think I saw you post a few things you got at San Diego, but you're our guest. You know, would you like to share with the class anything that, you know, your latest pickups at all?
Sure. The cool thing, since we got this thing on video, I could kind of show you guys and grab from my shelf. I got the Green Ranger Shredder. I don't know if you guys ever read that, the crossover between Boom Comics of the TMNT and Power Rangers.
And it was that, that's not Mattel. Who's making that?
That is Hasbro.
That's Hasbro. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks good, yeah, man. I like the
That was an actual storyline. That wasn't just a cash grab. They actually did put that together as like, maybe it was a cash grab, but that was actually was a real storyline.
Yeah, that was a 5-issue miniseries, and they actually leave it open for a part two. So I'm pretty sure probably within the next year or so, we'll get a part two. But yeah, we also had Bebop and Rocksteady in the story. Metalhead was in the story. Like, that got really huge and fused with the Dino Megazord, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, that does sound pretty sick, actually.
Yeah. So that was pretty awesome. Like, the whole entire fused Metalhead with the Dino Zord. I wish they would do like some type of like a, you know, a 10 inch, 11 inch dinosaur type of thing. That would be, I would buy it. That would be amazing.
I think a lot of people would, man. I mean, just those two franchises mashing up seems like a no brainer.
Oh, it, definitely.
You know what? I will say, I remember when this first kind of came out and the idea of it kind of was like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think that's going to work. And then I remember the image, the images kind of leaked well before the official releases did of the, you know, the four turtles, and just seeing them with like the kind of Power Ranger, you know, shaped like helmet, you know, situation that they're wearing. I was like, okay, this aesthetically looks fucking cool. Like
fucking badass.
It looks cool. Yeah.
I feel like I'm about to lose my turtle card, but I don't want people to revoke my membership to the Turtle fan club. But so there's obviously these Power Ranger Turtles, but we've also seen the Batman Turtles as well. Is that a thing too? I'm just getting so confused on all the crossovers.
So those were done by DC Collectibles. They weren't done by Hasbro or anything like that. They're decent, but the articulation is kind of...
But they're not from lacking. A story though, right? Those were kind of cash grabby.
Oh no, those were from a story as well.
Okay, so they're all tied to stories. I'm just so far behind.
Yeah, there's actually two story arcs that went on, and there's an animated movie as well.
Well, don't I feel like the fucking
okay?
Asshole.
Well, let's. I got one more before we move on, and there's also a Turtles Stranger Things.
Yes.
Mashup. It's just like,
oh, come on.
So that I think is just a cash grab, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
That I'm not aware of any comics or anything else.
Yeah. Well, I got one more too then. So the Universal Monster Turtles. What is that?
That's NECA.
That's a throwback.
But yeah, is that a cash grab? That's not a story though, right?
No, it's a throwback to the original. I don't know Playmates. If it was Kenner.
Yeah, okay, Playmates. Playmates. Yeah.
Yeah, the Playmates okay. did that back okay. in the day.
Well, I am learning some things on this one.
Yeah, I don't think that there's like a comic run of, you know, turtles as you know, Universal Monsters, but fuck,
I'd be down
if,
for that.
If there was, I mean, that might get me reading again, because yeah, that sounds pretty good. The toys look amazing. I still have yet to buy one because I know it's gonna
that
open
is
up
a black hole.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's a black hole, but it's a deceiving black hole, because you're probably thinking, oh, you know, well, they're only going to do the main turtles, so that's four. Yeah, and then right. a Splinter, and then an April, so maybe you're looking at six or seven. But like, yeah, I mean, you can easily, if you Shredder. Really think about it, you can easily put together like 12 to 15 and not just your initial.
That is so true. Like, that is so true. Six.
And I mean, they're like 40 bucks a pop City. Too, so
exactly.
Yeah Rocksteady and Bebop, yeah, that would be. Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do, because that hasn't been released, like them as monsters, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Never did. To keep on with the pickups, I got, I don't know if you guys are into anime, but Figma Inosuke from Demon Slayer. I don't know if you guys watched Demon Slayer or anything like that.
Nope. No, crickets from me on the Demon Slayer, but I know the people, you know, I know you obviously like it, and I think Major, he's really into it as well, right?
Yeah, it's a great, I'd say it's a really great anime. Just so you guys can kind of look at this guy, he has a pig mask,
yeah,
two swords,
yeah,
yeah, he's a pretty badass dude. Android 16 was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive by SH Figure Arts. They re-released them in a new colorway, which is pretty dope. I got the early release of Naruto. I don't know if you guys, again, yep. I don't know if you guys watch anime.
I am familiar with that one, though, because I know the memes.
That's the shirt you're wearing, right?
Yeah, so like yep. they just revitalized the line. They re-engineered the figures because like they completely killed the line a few years ago. So they're redoing the articulation and everything like that. So they had Naruto there early at San Diego Comic-Con in stock, which was dope. So I picked up one of those.
In stock, rare.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I picked up a re-release of an older figure, Madara. He's one of the big bads, but they released him in exclusive colorway. That's what a lot of these Comic-Con releases are. They're just... Yeah. re-releases, but in special exclusive colorways.
That's the way it should be, man. Like that.
Yeah. It's nice because it gives people a chance to pick up the figure if they never got it. Like, especially like Madara. It came out before I started collecting that line.
Sure.
And if I wanted the original release, it's $300.
Yeah.
And regular retail is $65. I'm not going to pay $300 for it. I'm not.
I think that's great too. Like making it, you know, unexclusive. So it's still somewhat, you know, hard to get, but it's almost like, you know, with the Hasbro Black Series, with their archive collection, you know, that ruffled a lot of feathers on a lot of collectors when that archive collection came out. And I just was, you know, under the kind of thought that like, hey, like, they're going to update these figures. They're going to be updated. So they still are going to be different. You know, yes, the old, you know, inferior ones are going to, you know, still be whatever they were cost wise. But like the new ones, like, I mean, who didn't want a better sculpted A New Hope Princess Leia? Like that first release of her was rough, you know?
But you got me out there always trying to be the gatekeeper, though, because I do love the, well, if you really cared, man, you'd know, you'd pony up and you'd get that rare asset, you know, screw those people that, you know, can't get it. You know, there's this thing about exclusivity, Dave. Everyone knows that, man.
No, I kind of agree with you, though, because people were wondering about the Tomashi Nations, like the figure arts, how the exclusives were going to be released. And that whole entire thing, I have a story, which it kind of sucks for actual Comic-Con. But like that following Monday after Comic-Con, they opened it up to anybody and everybody to order. And I was like, well, isn't that just a slap in the face?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me when I was in Star Wars Celebration in Chicago there for 3 days trying to get the Anakin and Darth Maul exclusives. And I literally couldn't get them. And then I flew home and I had buddies that like already got their orders in online from their couch and, you know, Chandler, Arizona, you know,
like the people that go to the event that are ticket holders should have first
yeah.
go and
you would
priority.
Think, you would think.
I completely agree with that. And when shows don't do that, it makes me upset. I'm like, that's, can I cuss or no? Is that okay?
Oh yeah. Are you
kidding
me?
Have you not heard us?
I forget, you guys are kind of rebranding.
So sure.
Like,
sure.
I don't,
if anything, we're worse now.
PG? Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. If anything, we're worse.
So I'm just like, yeah, man, that's bullshit.
You know, that's an interesting topic. I mean, we could probably do a whole podcast on that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, shit. You got to cue Chaz the Guru for the memes of the most recent G.I. Joe, I guess, convention exclusives of people getting all the ones that they couldn't, and then people back home getting them. But the people at the convention couldn't get them, just like you were saying. So it's always fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, that might be like the one silver lining, you know, Kevin, we obviously talked about, you know, almost like the direction that a lot of these companies are going with their exclusives and just making them like pre-order, like, here's your QRC code. You know, we're not going to have the stock here, but here's your QRC code. You know, is that,
it's so lame.
It's so whack.
It's lame, but maybe it could, you know, if they tweak it a little bit, it could still, you know, ensure that the people that have those codes that are quote unquote there have the first true dibs of it then, you know. I'm just thinking, nice. There might be some silver lining in there, but I doubt it.
It was just weird. I remember when we were at Celebration and I'm walking around with like a stack of like QR codes. I'm like, this isn't as fun as walking around with an action figure in my hand. I mean, yeah, these absolutely. QR codes, it's like Turbo Man. We always go back to Jingu all the way. He's like, what, you think I got a Turbo Man here? No, it says read the fine print. You'll get one eventually. And that's exactly what the convention exclusives were.
True. All right. Well, Kevin, I know you had some interesting news, some developments from our United States Postal Service. So, our listeners are dying to hear what happened with your situation there.
Hi, Dave. We're reporting here from the United States Postal Service, and I can confirm that we have had confirmation of a delivery. So, yes, Dave, we do have confirmation of a delivery. as you know, on our latest episode of the podcast, I was in a bit of a conundrum, as our fellow listeners know. I kind of started to test my luck a little bit on eBay, perhaps, and I was getting some weird vibes. And we talked about last time, you know, is eBay a sure thing? You know, will you always get it? Will you possibly have to get your money tied up if it was like some screwy type of seller or whatever? So I was a little bit worried. And even like when it started to ship and move around in the system, it said, okay, it's out for delivery. And Dave, damn it, if I didn't text you and be like, hey man, it's out for delivery, but the postal driver just left my house. He's not here anymore. And God, he didn't drop anything off.
I was losing it.
I'm like, what is happening? Did they hack the system to where it said deliver? Like, what happened? But then he came back around. He's like, hey man, hey, sorry, it was just a bit bigger of a box. I was going to get it on the other side, so I didn't have to jump out of my car. I'm like, all right, whatever. So yes, I can confirm, Dave, and I sent you the pictures, that the 3-0 DLX Transformers of Megatron and Optimus, yes, are in the house. And man, they are awesome. Those 19-inch premium scale ones. And I used to think that their DLX line was cool, but man, the premium format or premium size, whatever, are incredible. But yeah, those are the last night versions from Transformers. Very, very happy to have those in there. And so I can confirm they did show up. But Dave, I would be lying to myself if I didn't hit you up again saying, hey man, I got another eBay conundrum. Every week, Dave, it's an eBay situation to where something goes wrong. And I said, hey man, you know, I'm sitting here futzing around with it. Should I do this? You know, I'm going to make an offer. And you're like, well, do you really want it, Kevin? It's like my mom talking to me. He's like, do you really want it? Do you really need it? And so you talked me into, I was like, well, the more I think of it, the more I think I really do want it. So I'm just going to recounter offer his offer. And what do you know? I recountered his offer and he accepted it. So I do have one new piece coming next week that I can't wait to share with you. So
when you're waiting for the USPS driver to come back the second time, I just pictured you as Ethan Hawke and Black Phone ready to play Naughty Boy.
Absolutely. I was sitting there on my front porch with my belt in my hand. I was ready to beat the fuck out of that guy as soon as he showed. Wait, am I gonna get in trouble if I say I'm gonna beat up a postal employee? I know that's like federal. Okay.
Yeah,
I think most people want to do that anyway.
We've all been there.
I don't want Newman in the postal service to show up at my house trying to arrest me for talking ill of the postal service. But I will say, on a random topic, is that USPS has been more reliable for me than UPS, if that makes any sense. Like, it's been constant delays from like UPS. Like, I got something from Sideshow coming, like, and it was been like 2 weeks that it got stuck in the middle of the Midwest. And I'm like, where is my package? But USPS has been on it, other than just skipping my house. But if the people actually mail the things, they get to me.
Dude, FedEx is the worst for me.
In California?
Fucking terrible. It is the worst.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because I work in procurement and stuff. And whenever I have to ship anything in California, I usually always use FedEx, but and then specifically for California, I'll choose UPS.
UPS is way better than FedEx, like in my neck of the woods, for whatever reason.
I get FedEx priority and everything's usually fine then. Is it, if you do priority, you good, or is it FedEx in general, or what's your general consensus?
So I've had issues from Hasbro. Anytime that anything comes from Hasbro, that's usually the only time.
That's regular freight FedEx, though, right? So it'll run a little bit slower.
Dude, I've had it, like, packages go missing in there.
Yeah,
like, they show that they're gonna go out for they show that they're gonna go out for delivery, then they never fucking do. My first original set of the TMNT Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which I think was like the Leonardo set and the Raphael set, that was like fucking 6 weeks.
Oh wow! Well, yeah. It's shipping across the country, right? Like, if it's going, I don't think it comes out of Rhode Island, but I think it goes out of Atlanta. I think they got a DC there in Atlanta, but yeah, I've had a few things fucked up, smashed up, and just straight up lost too. All right. Well, yeah, I'm pumped for you, Kevin, on those two acquisitions, because yeah, they look phenomenal in there, man. Amazing. I mean, they command some attention, you know.
Wait, are these the Michael Bay Optimus? And
they are. And I do have, because I got the last night, you know, Michael Bay I have The Last Night Megatron and Optimus from Michael Bay. I have The Revenge of the Fallen Optimus and Bumblebee. And then I also have the Michael Bay Turtles, which everyone's like, oh, shit on them. But I really like them. I think they're sick. I love my Michael Bay Turtles. I'd love them, especially the Out of the Shadows. I love that one.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, good shit. Okay, so I'm up, right? I got a few pickups. So I went to a toy show. So shout out Polar Bear Collectibles. They had one of their annual kind of summer shows, the Epic Toy Show, I believe it's called, in North Phoenix. And went there, took my boy Connor. And, you know, of course, we did the early bird. You got to do the early bird. There's no point to go to a toy show unless you're paying the extra $5. Do the early bird. Get in there, get to the good stuff. And we went kind of on a mission to just find Hot Wheel car. Kevin, you're gonna shit your pants. So we just specifically looked for Hot Wheels cars because I'm not really in the market for anything. I mean, I got a couple things on my list. You know, if I saw some specific vintage Star Wars stuff, but mainly I was just kind of going to have fun. So I was like, well, let's try to kind of do something to get us digging through those loose bins. And we were like, okay, let's do Hot Wheels. They're cheap. They're fun. So we specifically went with the intention of trying to find like movie cars. So, you know, we got the Flintstones car, we got, what the Jetsons, flying car, which I just saw he was born yesterday. George.
No, Jetson. I was going to say the official birth date of George Jetson, July 31st, 2022.
Yeah. That's hilarious. But yeah, so we had fun kind of like doing a scavenger hunt style at the toy show, but I did get to have a pretty proud dad moment. Gil, you know, I'm sure you can kind of relate to this being a dad. And I mean, Kevin's a puppy dad. You're almost a werepup dad. Almost.
Yes, I was. I was very, very close until I saw the thing in person. Man, what a huge disappointment once again.
And yeah, I really wanted you to be a werepup dad. Oh Jesus, the hashtag potential on that. Oh.
Yeah, werepup dad.
Okay, so all right, back to topic. So he saved up some money doing some chores, and he didn't really haggle with you know, a vendor, but he made his like first purchase at a toy show. And of course he picked a Stay Puff. I think it was one of the Maddie collector ones. Yeah, it was a loose banged up one. It was like $10, and you know, he facilitated the whole thing. I kind of was just like, there you go, like go tell him what you want and everything. So that what I got that on film. That was really cool.
Did he haggle though? Did he haggle? Was like, I'll give you 9.
Yeah, no. He was just like, here's the money, here's 10 ones, you know, or what. But yeah, he's really getting in a collecting, man. It's cool to see for sure. But that's pretty much all I get.
Dave, I have to ask a question. When is he going to set up a display in his room?
He's got one, man.
Does he?
Yes. I'll put it on our Instagram. I'll take a picture of it set up.
Sweet.
He's really proud of it.
I can imagine. Is he coming on the pod next week?
Yeah, maybe a couple years.
Guest.
There you go. It's the only guest that can follow up to Gil.
Yeah.
Oh shit, man. Okay, well that's I didn't really, like I said, I didn't get much other than you know, a few Hot Wheel cars, and I thought I bought some other like bullshit, but that was pretty much it, man. So
you didn't get no popcorn buckets, did you?
No, no popcorn buckets, but I tag you that Disney had like their Halloween bucket? Gil, you're a Disney guy, right?
Oh, I love Disney, man. I'm gonna bark for a couple of those things.
Okay, yeah. So
couple properties.
Let me ask you this then. Okay, so you obviously Disneyland would be, you know, you probably had like an annual pass holder at one point, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you ever get into the popcorn buckets? How many popcorn buckets do you have?
No, I never did, man.
Thank God.
Try to have my line, and I keep my line, and I stay firm, and sure. I try not to cross it.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard,
especially there, and you're going often. Like it's kind of like it's all facilitated for you to buy a lot of shit. Like whether it's the backpacks, sure. The ears, the, you know, the buckets, like pins, keys, like they have shit that you can just instantly start a collection, you know?
Well, I told myself I wasn't going to collect pins, and now I have two pin boards. So I'm like,
oh, well, what do you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it happens. It happens.
It happens. Yeah. I'm the same, man. I always remember, like, you know, seeing people with the lanyards and like all the pins, and I'm like, oh, I mean, that's cool. It's just not for me. And then here we are, you know, I got like probably like two full lanyards just with like exclusive pins and stuff like that. But yeah, anywho. So yeah, I don't know how we got on Disney popcorn buckets, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was me. My bad.
All right. Okay. So let's stay in California. Let's go to San Diego Comic-Con. And holy cow, there is a lot of things to be excited about. Kevin, we talked about like, okay, yep, like, you know, an event has to give me an incentive to go there. I mean, there was a lot of exciting stuff, but like, what was your take on overall? And, you know, kind of tell me about some exciting things, and we'll kind of get into Gil's on the ground talk and, you know, what he's excited for.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because I remember last time we were talking about, you're like, what do you want to see out of SDCC? And is that something you'd want to still go to? Because we had talked about that was kind of a bucket list item for me, was to go to San Diego Comic-Con, because it's the Comic-Con. And we had talked about how it's kind of, I guess maybe some properties are kind of moving away from it because, you know, Hall H was always supposed to be the big thing. And we had said, hey, is, you know, D23 going to be when all the, because that's, you know, Disney's, you know, conference, is that where they're going to show a lot of the big stuff? But I'll be damned if I wasn't kind of impressed over what they actually showed in San Diego. I went in with very low expectations, and I think that's what really helped me, knowing that it'll be cool to get a little bit of a roadmap, I guess, for some of the Marvel things, maybe get a trailer here. But damn, I knew we were going to get the Black Panther trailer, but I once again, you know, hand on the Bible, man, I've probably watched that thing probably 50 times. The Wakanda Forever trailer was so damn good. And just kind of the hype that went around to that, knowing that they are officially, you know, addressing, you know, Chadwick's death, which is going to be crazy. But the soundtrack alone for the Black Panther, which I told you before, you know, as part of our wedding and kind of my family is important to us. You know, I told my wife I loved her at Black Panther for the first time, all that stuff. So we always really loved the Black Panther franchise. But the soundtrack was always so fire. And then, you know, they have Tim's singing on this one, you know, that Bob Marley song, No Woman, No Cry. But then it switches over to, you know, Kendrick. The Kendrick song, Everything's Gonna Be All Right. And it's fantastic. Dude, that shit is
fire.
And I can't wait for that official remix. And then you got just that one little glimpse of, you know, whoever in the Black Panther outfit, but you get to see Namor, you get to see all that stuff. And man, that's what I was the most excited about. Yeah, it's cool to get, you know, Avengers 5 and 6, whatever you want to call that, and the phase 5 and 6. But man, I was hyped for Black Panther. That was my thing.
Hey, do you know who came up with the song, with the mix?
Who officially mixed it?
Yeah, I know whose suggestion it was.
Maybe Ryan Coogler. I don't know.
It was.
Yeah, I assumed it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who cut the first trailer came on to Fat Man Beyond with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin, and they interviewed him, and they asked him, like, where did you get the inspiration to mix those songs? And he goes, it actually wasn't even me. That was all Ryan.
Wow, it's like, brilliant. Oh, man. Absolutely brilliant. Like,
absolutely, it is.
And so many people were worried of like, oh, do you think he's going to be able to respect, you know, the legacy of, you know, I was 100% that they're going to do this right. And one of the things I loved is that they were, I guess, interviewing some of the cast, and they said, you know, we didn't have a number one on the call sheets because that was Chadwick's, and he is with us on this film. Wow. Spiritually. And that. Yeah, crazy. So there was no number one was for Chadwick, which I think was pretty cool. So yeah, I think they're going to do it just right. Yeah, it's probably going to be probably one of the more emotional Marvel movies, or maybe even emotional movies out there, simply because it's addressing kind of real issues. But man, I can't wait. And once again, last year it was Ghostbusters. This year it's Black Panther on my birthday, and I can't wait.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, I didn't realize Afterlife came. Yeah, you know what? Because you were having like a, an, like, you're in a situation, right, of celebrating your birthday, and you're like, do I go see Ghostbusters? Yep, you know, I'm like six beers deep or whatever it was, right? You're like, oh, should I see this sober or drunk, you know?
Six beers, man. I was like 16 shots at that point, because that's when I went there. I was like, hey, man, is it going to be, because I think you maybe even seen it before me, or maybe, no, you were going later. And I said, hey, you think I should see this when I'm not all there? And you're like, well, as long as you can comprehend and still be feeling good, then yes. And I went in there and I did comprehend, and it was great. So once again, great suggestion.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Black Panther, man. So you better get ready for that.
Yeah. I'll have the tissues ready.
Dude. I mean, I don't have much to add to that other than, yes, I mean, that was the trailer that, you know, you talk about head to toe and goosebumps, you know, whether, you know, the music, they couldn't have picked a better song, you know, mix to go along with that movie, and that's facing, you know, obviously, you know, Chadwick and whatnot. It's instantly my most, you know, look forward to project. I'm really excited about Blade, which, you know, we could talk about later, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. You weren't in Hall H, were you, for that, Gil?
No, I wasn't, but one of our buddies, Augustine Garcia, I don't know if you know him, longtime listener and supporter for a lot of different podcasts, and I believe he listens to you guys,
okay,
as well, but he was there.
Awesome. And like, what did he just say? The place just went crazy.
He said it was an event because I'm pretty sure you guys seen how it started with everybody coming out with the drums and African music and everything like that. And then it led into kind of like an interview, then a reveal of the trailer and everything else. He said it was just a spectacle from beginning to end.
I feel like the Hall H, you know, if you're lucky enough, or I don't know if it's a lottery, if it's just like, you know, first come first serve in your camping kind of situation, but if you're fortunate to go to Hall H, I feel like that right there is worth all of the logistics of getting there, your flight, your hotel, like that's worth the trip to San Diego alone. If you're able to secure that, almost like, you know, a celebration, like going to like a main panel and, you know, seeing John Williams or something like that, instantly would make it the trip worth the price of admission. I think, I mean, we've all seen those Hall H panels for many years. And this one definitely seemed like it was like, had that old school San Diego Comic-Con feel to it again. I was wondering about how that was going to look first con since COVID and whatnot, but yeah, it seemed like it was bumping in Hall H.
Oh, it was. And Augustine talked about his everything that he did. Me and him did an episode of like how you get into Hall H if you've never been before, because I've never been.
I've always wondered.
Yeah, so he was camping out Friday before. So he got out in line at 5 a.m. So he was there from 5 a.m. until Saturday morning.
Wow.
When they let him in at 10 a.m. So he wasn't just dedicated there. He alternated with his wife.
Sure.
And he had a couple other buddies there that saved lines. So there were six of them in total in line, but they alternated.
But you're looking at 24 plus hours of right? Like an automatic overnight. Like it's not like you can try it like, oh, I'll get in at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. No, it's like a full...
If you know people working in the actual Hall H that could sneak you in, I've heard of some shit happening, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're trying to do it like legit, like for sure, camp out over 24 hours, it's looking closer to 30 hours that you got to camp out in total.
That's a great point, Dave. Which when we were doing Celebration, we had the virtual queue. What are your opinions, both of you guys? Do you want to take your chance on the virtual queue and then get pissed when it doesn't work? Or do you want to sit there for 30 hours and like literally kill yourself because it's one of the most grueling things just to sit and wait? I can barely sit and like sit on the toilet, you know? I can't just sit there that long. So what do you want?
I would do the 30 hours.
Really? Because it guarantees that you're going to get there if you get there early, essentially?
Exactly. But I would only do that if I did not have my kids with me. So this year I was by myself with both my kids. So I was like, that's not going to happen. Yeah, I cannot. That just,
there's no logistic way.
Absolutely not. My kids are 14 and 11. I was like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah. See, I think it's very subjective, right? Like, I think there's going to be people that are going to be pissed off either way. Like, I look at it, you know, I'm almost 40 and I don't want to fucking sleep on the ground and, you know, like wait in line for a full day. Like,
but if you get there, it means you're getting in. So you have the hope of knowing that in 30 hours I'm getting in, right? Does that help drive you, I guess, saying, oh, it's just another 75 hours and I'm good.
It absolutely would. And then to Gil's point, as long as like the other kind of your outside factors, you know, are not an issue, not a factor, like, you're by yourself, you got a full belly of food, or you have a person you can swap in and out with, make it a little more okay. Yeah, I can, if I just stand right here, I know I'm going to see, you know, Kevin Feige, and, you know, do his panel. Like, that's what it takes. Like, I think taking that away from people at like Celebration, it made a lot of people upset, because, you know, a lot of people internationally, they're flying, you know, from all over the world. Same thing with San Diego. And maybe all they want to do is just see that one panel.
Right, right.
So give them the opportunity to do that. That being said, I'm not going to do that. So I like the idea of like, hey, if I get lucky and I just have to show up an hour before the panel starts, fucking A.
That would be dope.
You know, it depends, man. But Black Panther, you know, that movie's going to be incredible, man.
Did you get to get any vibe for, was anybody else talking about anything else? I know the Kang Dynasty and, you know, the big Avengers films and stuff. Everyone's like, oh, Marvel's back, you
Secret
know,
because
people were shitting on Phase 4. They're like, this is all just set up, thinking, I guess, they'd forgotten about Marvel Phase 2 because that set up Phase 3. But you know how people are, naturally. So were people still hype about, you know, what's coming for Phase 5? Or was there any other talk besides Marvel? I know they showed some Black Adam stuff, which, you know, who doesn't like The Rock, I guess. I know I don't like The Rock.
You don't like tequila. The Rock.
but what was the other vibe, Gil? Do you get anything from that?
That was honestly like the only thing that me and a couple other people were talking about was some of the Disney Plus animated shows that are going to be coming out, like the What If season 2, Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
Because in Ballroom 20, that's where they showed all the animated stuff. They showed a little bit of the X-Men 97. I think they showed a couple minutes of the first
episode, forgot about that,
if I'm not mistaken. And I think they showed the first two episodes of What If season 2. And then the zombies, they just revealed like more of the zombies, who was going to come into play and whatnot.
That's out of all the animated stuff, that's what I'm most looking forward to, is the zombie series.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then
shit.
The Rock was the only other big thing out of, besides Marvel, The Rock, that was it. Augustine, he didn't really care for the Shazam stuff. He said it was pretty whack. And when I watched the trailer, I was like, I don't know. I feel kind of mid about it. I'm kind of indifferent. I'm like,
the Black Adam trailer?
No, Shazam, the Fury of the Gods, number two.
Shazam and Black Adam, I just don't give a fuck about, honestly. And it's not because I hate Dwayne Johnson. It's just the whole concept of the Shazam character. I know he's beloved by some others, but I just don't get that one for me. I mean, hats off to people who are hype about that, but that's one I just don't get.
Yeah, I mean, I like Black Adam, personally. That's me, before The Rock was attached to it, just because who he is and what he is and what he stands for is kind of cool. Where he's kind of like a Black Panther character. He puts his people first before good or evil. It's his people first. And I respect that.
Yeah, I'm more interested in the Shazam than I am with Black Adam. And I don't know if that's just because I just have like The Rock fatigue. It's like him.
I can feel that.
Chris Pratt. Like there's some characters that I'm just like, yeah, like I do enjoy them, you know, in certain roles, but it's like, oh, like you're doing this role again, or like a variation of a role you just did, you know? So I don't know. I mean, it's going to obviously have the full weight of Hollywood, you know, budget behind it. I'm sure it's going to look, you know, really nice, but I don't know, man. I know there is, he was asked a question, The Rock, about like, you know, who he would, or who would win in a fight, a Superman or him. And,
right. This was extremely ballsy.
Yeah. And he skated around the question brilliantly. And, you know, he said, well, it depends on who plays Superman, kind of implying that, I don't even know his name. Who's the
Henry Cavill?
There you go. Thank you. You know, I'm not too familiar, you know, so I'm not going to, you know, step out of boundaries, but like, it sounds like he could potentially not be playing Superman anymore. I don't know what the news is on that, but yeah, I know.
Still kind of up in the air.
Is it? Yeah. He's fine. I like, he didn't like make, you know, all the Superman versus Batman, you know, that movie like better or anything, but like, he's great. He's a totally fine Superman.
Yeah.
Okay, so besides the Black Panther, that movie, or that upcoming movie, that kind of stole my excitement. Very excited about that. The Blade talk, you know, I don't know if we got an official date, or did we just get like the general fall 2023? I can't remember.
Fall 2023.
Okay,
just the timeline.
I'm really excited about that. Super excited about Daredevil. I mean,
born again.
That's getting the Andor episode treatment. I mean, it's 16 or 18 episodes 18 or something. Episodes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's going to be nuts. But dude, that the stuff that came out of San Diego for the toys, it's been a minute since I've been this hyped up about a lot of like toy stuff. And NECA, I wouldn't say NECA stole it. One company that definitely stole it for me, and I don't even collect any of their stuff, but I feel like Mattel stole it with all of the He-Man presentations. Did you get to go to the Mattel booth and see the Eternia set?
Yes, I did. I did get to go buy the Mattel stuff where they had everything for show. Trying to actually get into their booth to buy exclusives, they're probably one of the hardest booths to get into, just to let you guys know.
What is, and is that just
is like, it Funko like
demand, the demand to get in the line, or do they have like a really weird queue system?
The demand to get in is fucking insane. It is Funko like, Kev. It is just like insane. Like, that's got to be, if you're lined up, like people line up like at 6, 7 a.m. to get into the to the con floor, which opens up at 10 o'clock, and that has to be like your first place that you go. You have to like beeline it over there, like
sure,
jog over there, you know, to basically get your stuff, because they sell out fast, man. And it's usually like two per exclusive.
Yeah,
with them.
Yeah, so. No, yeah, dude, they had some nice stuff. That playset looks just insane. I mean. I haven't seen it in person, but it looks like it's going to command a lot of like desk space in people's collections. Like, I'm not getting it because I don't collect the Motu line, but you know, I'm just thinking of how someone is going to have to display that. They're going to need to put it on like their kitchen table or something.
Right. It's
huge, man. But dude, NECA, oh man, they always make so much good stuff. So I'm really near the Universal Monster line. We finally got Dracula and Creature Black Lagoon. And Kevin, that's I just took the lead, pal. Took the lead from you. So a whopping 2-1 is our score, if you're keeping score at home.
I'm actually looking at our draft board right now. And I honestly, my buddy texted me and he said, this is a direct quote, and I thought I had gotten one of my dark horses. He said directly, you're going to get the Toby and Andrew figures. $445 is fucking steep. I'm like, did they release the two pack? Are they doing the two pack? I thought the Toby Andrew two pack was what he was referencing. He's like, oh, I was $100 off. My bad. I was combining them. I didn't understand what he said. I thought I took that one off the board, but yes, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry to go off script there a little bit. You do lead currently.
You know what? We should give that to you because they're still coming out. They're just not coming. Like, you got too bold. You should have just said, hey, you know, these two guys not in a two.
Well, I tell you what, Dave, because I fully believe that I will win this by the end of the year. If it comes down to a tiebreaker, that will be the tiebreaker.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay.
Because I do think I would. Yeah.
I was going to say, in fairness, like, everyone is legit, like, releasing that, like, all the Peters as a three pack.
So. Yeah. Why isn't Hot Toy doing that? It's gotta be a licensing thing.
It is a licensing thing, because I think we talked about this, is that the Toby is under the No Way Home banner, but Andrew Garfield is still under the Amazing Spider-Man. So it is definitely
I did not pay attention to that.
Because that's why the Lizard base is by itself, and you can get the Lizard base by itself with No Way Home marketing. Oh, but the Toby but the Andrew figure is completely Amazing Spider-Man 2 branded.
Ugh, I hate shit like that.
So I don't know if it's a Sony issue. I don't know if it's an Andrew issue, but yeah. So we'll
derail us.
Oh, you unplugged there.
Of course I did.
Take two.
I mean, to derail us, but with that being said, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, we'll look at that.
There you go.
But yes, okay. Dave, tell us about these Universal monsters.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we got Dracula creature coming. That's it from, I mean, NECA did a lot of stuff, but we're just not going to cover. We're just going to kind of cover the stuff that we're excited about. I don't have any of these, and Kevin, I don't believe you do either. Gil, not sure if you do at all either, but Mondo. I mean, I got plenty of, like, Mondo pieces, like art pieces, but when I think of Mondo, I think of that. I think of designer, you know, art, graphics and stuff like that. But they have a nice little 1/6 scale you know, collectible line. And I think some of the standouts are Universal Monsters. I believe they did a really nice creature not too long ago, but they just showed a MacReady from The Thing, and yes. And I'm really pumped on that. I want to get The Thing in a 1-scale representation in my collection. And that's going to be it for me. So yeah, very excited about that. And then one thing that I never thought that I would say here, but geez, DC. Kevin, do you think I would ever own a DC Hot Toy?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be in this Batman 89. Holy fuck.
Can we please talk about
the figure and the diorama, Kevin?
Well, let's go for it.
You had to have been all in on this. I mean, I know you're considering, you have to be considering the diorama. I know it's massive, but I feel like Jesus, like Michael Keaton, Batman, you know, was it branded Dark Knight, the cave, or was it branded 89?
Okay, so I don't want to be that guy, but you know, as I do, whenever there's conventions, they put shit out there that they never release. We know that. So looking at you, Padme, looking at, you know, all the things that have been on display but never released. I mean, we have Crosshairs, we have Wrecker, you know, from Celebration that are on our list, Dave, that if they officially release those, we could go up on that one. But all that to say, I'm not 100% sure, you know, such as, you know, that giant Naboo fighter, right. the Mando ship. I don't think they're going to make that. I don't think that they, I worry about the big pieces. The diorama would be cool.
That makes sense.
I don't know if they would, but they did have, when you look about the Dark Knight, they did have the Dark Knight Rises, the like Arsenal. Glass armory. Yeah. The armory looking thing that looks badass, would be all over that, especially because it gives you a new Bruce Wayne, which would look awesome. But back to the 89 Batman. I mean, I do have the original 89 Batman. I have that one. And if I can add a sweet computer cave looking little thing, I mean, I'd have to make an excuse to, you know, move Pennywise out of the way. Yeah. Move some things away to make room for that, man. Because I mean, that's what I grew up with. I told you that I was at a TGA Fridays when I got my Bat Cave for a birthday, you know, from Kenner. I mean, it was a great moment. So to be able to have the 6-scale version of that, I mean, hell yeah.
Yeah. That looked sick, man. Did you stumble into the Hot Toy booth at all?
Oh, absolutely, dude. And my daughter was with me on that day. My son was all like, I'm all tuckered out of the Comic-Con. He didn't go our last day, but it was just me and my daughter, and we checked out the whole entire booth. And dude, that was a standout piece. I was like, holy shit. Like, my jaw dropped. I was like, this is gorgeous. The amount of detail that's in it. Yeah. Just phenomenal.
Yeah. It looked amazing, man. I've no idea. I mean, well, Kevin, I hear you with what you're saying about, like, well, are they even going to release it? Cause yeah, you're absolutely right. This could sit on the shelf for years. Right.
But it's a weird flex to be like, oh, let's just show this figure. If you weren't, I mean, the figure is a much more likely possibility than the actual, like, cave or whatever, right. But it's a weird, it's not no anniversary to my knowledge, you know? So why are you other
why
than
now? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, sure. Where there's smoke, there's fire potentially.
Did they ever release the Vulture from?
Of course not. The only thing that they ever did.
They had him in 2019. I've seen that one for myself.
Well, if you remember that, sometimes they do just to flex. Jazz Inc., who I got my Iron Vulture or my Iron Scavenger from. As soon as, you know, Jazz Inc. released their the Batman Batmobile, Hot Toys came. Look at ours. Look, here's ours. We're gonna make one too. But they've never released that. They just literally made an Instagram post about it. Same thing with this situation is that I wonder with the Vulture, you know, Jazz Inc. made theirs. Like, oh, we're going to make a Jazz Inc. We're going to make a Vulture 2 now. And they just did an Instagram post. I was like, are you really going to do that until they actually put it up for pre-order?
It's still in the thunder.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I think it's literally just to get people to stop their pre-orders or cancel orders and hope that Hot Toys does it. I think that's literally all it is. It's just manipulation.
Oh, classic. The ins and outs of the brutal toy industry. Gotta love it. All right.
You know, I love my tinfoil hats.
Let's talk to all right, Gil, straight up. Halloween Black Series Troopers. Are you in or out? This is gonna be one of those things where people are gonna fucking love it or hate it.
I'm in. If I see them on the pigs, sure, I'll probably pick up like one or two, but
that's exactly where they're gonna be.
Am I gonna well, dude, I know
they're
seen,
not, Kevin. You I fucking know
the
they're
Christmas
not.
Ones. I never seen the Christmas ones, and I actually like
who is buying like, them? If I who is buying them?
I don't know, because like they're never on the shelves. Because like if I would have seen them, I would have bought them, and I would have threw them with my Christmas decorations. And if I see these, I will throw them with my Halloween decorations. But I never see them, and I'm not going to go and pre-order them. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to make a promise to you. How about that? I'm going to go all in on how silly this stuff is. So you know that we throw a rager at our house every single year for Halloween.
Yeah.
So if I can, I'm going to rephrase that. When I find these things on the shelf, I will display them, buy them, and bring them to my house for the Halloween party and take a selfie with them and make sure to tag the pod.
Please do. You don't have to buy the Wookiee one. That one,
Wookiee werewolf is a must, bro.
I don't know, man.
Those little ears, man. Come on.
I'm out as of now. Ears. I'm out on the Wookiee. But if I see it, you know, leaving, you know, Applebee's, you know, with the wife after a couple margaritas, and we stop in the Target, and it's there. Sure, maybe. But I'm definitely buying a couple of those. The skeleton troopers, those are just too fucking
cool. Are they glow in the dark?
I believe they were. Yeah. I believe
if they're
glow
in the dark, I might be able to do something with some black
they look
light
like
or
they
something.
Are.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're very cool. And those, I hear you, Gil, on the, like, you know, put it with the Halloween decorations, because I was trying to like pump up Hasbro at that time 2 years ago or whatever, you know, when they released the quote unquote released those figures, because I don't think anyone really has them. I don't remember them like going on sale, but those Christmas figures, you know, just toss them with the Christmas shit, you know. But
exactly.
But these will stay out all year for sure. These are sick. I'm pretty pumped about those.
Dave, when I find them, I'll get them and I'll just mail them to you, because after I'm done with them and I prove my point, I'll just send them straight over to
you're,
you.
You're tired of seeing them at your same Target over and over and over and
yes.
over again. You're just
yes.
gonna, I'm just going to buy these and ship them to Dave. Just get them
yeah,
out
because,
of my Target.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing my local Target a service to, and also to help you, man.
Shit, thanks, if you man. See some extras, man, I'll there send you some money and pay shipping.
There you go. Hell,
I got done. Both of y'all. I got both of y'all. And I'll make sure to get my 5% off of my red card.
Oh, hey, shit. There you go.
All right, Gil. Well, what else, man? Is anything else that, you know, happened while you were there that, you know, you, just really got you going that you're excited about or anything that you want to share?
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys briefly brought up NECA. You guys weren't excited about it, but I was. The gargoyles, the reveals for gargoyles.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Dude, just, it blew my mind. And I was like, holy shit. And like, I couldn't wait to go see those and check those out in person. Sure. I'm such a mark for gargoyles.
Are you up to date? You have all the current releases, I imagine.
I have everybody. I even have a case of Goliath for my Blackwell comic shop that I run on the side. So like whenever I set up for my local cons and stuff like that, I sell like those, one or so. I don't want to like get rid of all of them right away, but I'll usually like sell like one every time.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm all up to date with Bronx, Demona, Thalog, and Maya.
They look good, man. They look really good. Every time I go to Target, like I usually end up grabbing at least one and just giving it like a real good once over. Cause I've yet to, you know, get bit by that bug, but I like the show growing up, and yeah, I'm glad to see them kind of getting some love in the toys.
So I was telling Jade last night, dude, like they showed off the Steel Clan, and I think I'm gonna need a whole entire case of that just to myself, bro.
Sure.
Like, because Xanatos always rolled with like, you know, 7 to 10 drones with them all the time.
So yeah, you're gonna need an army build
it. Yeah. Yep. I was like, I need to army build it right. So I was like, I need at least six. Six is in a case.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. So you need a case straight up. Back to NECA, a lot of turtle. I mean, they're just, you know, everyone kind of thought that, you know, turtles, they might be doing too much, but
they're done.
Yeah. And they're done. And they just have these, I saw some kind of newer ones where it was like, they were like more like the
Mirage turtles.
Yeah. I was going to say that the certain style, like artistic style of the turtles that I've never seen before, they just looked great, man.
Yeah, dude, they were gorgeous. They're gorgeous in person. Just, dude, everything over there, they kill it. The sculpt is phenomenal. They may not always knock it out of the park with articulation. They have QC issues, but dude, what company doesn't?
You got to get a dryer out and get a pot of boiling water ready, you know, loosen up an ankle here.
It happens.
ET, man, I'm pumped for that.
Oh, dude, they have like a one-to-one scale of that thing that people were taking photos of.
Sick.
And like my daughter passed by it and seen it. She's like, what the? She's like, jump kind of. And I was all like, you want to take a picture? And she's like, nope.
Hell nope. No. See, Kevin needs one of those because Kevin has two one-to-one scale.
This is correct.
Figures.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And ET could be three. ET could be three.
Yeah, my one-to-one scale figures, just to give you a quick recap, is they're huge, monstrous, takes up a lot of space in the old room. One is Grogu, and the other is fucking Gizmo, by the way.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I told my wife if they ever did a one-to-one scale of Naruto, I was like, I'm getting that.
You're getting it. put it like right in the front door entrance, you know, someone comes in, he's right there. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
With the one-to-one pieces, I always, and Kevin, this is probably I think back-to-back Carbonite talk, but like the Han and Carbonite, I don't know, a full size of that just seems so fucking.
No, that's
cool
what
to
that
me.
What that needs to be, like either the front door or like the what's the thing, the refrigerator. There we go.
The refrigerator would be cool.
I was
going to
say,
I've been drinking.
Even like the table, the
coffee
you could
table.
Do that in the kitchen. Yeah, like a coffee table.
Eating on somebody's face would be a little odd. But.
Well, if you had a little bit like of a some spacers and then put a glass top on top of that, I think that'd be cool too. That's some real robot shit right there. But yeah, man. Okay. Did you check out any other after, you know, I know San Diego does a lot of the kind of off event stuff, like a dinner here, or, you know, another offsite panel and stuff like that. I think.
Yeah. So I went to the Fat Man Beyond live show. That was hella fun.
I saw you post about that
Bernard
one.
That was fun. They had it at a bar. They were selling movies over there, the movies, food from like the Clerks and that stuff. So me and my brothers, we got drunk a little bit.
There you go.
Had some fun. Talked to Kevin Smith a little bit. That was cool.
Awesome.
Trying to think what else. we were about to stop by the Hello Kitty booth. That's like, they do like a food trip outside.
Okay.
My daughter was like, no, I don't want to do it right now. I'm kind of tired. Let's just go back to the Airbnb. I'm like, if we don't go right now,
we're not
probably
going.
Not
going
to go because like they closed at 5 and it was already like about to be 3 o'clock. So I was like, I'm not going to go back over them and come back. Turns out if we would have went, we would have ran into the Rock.
Oh,
if if we would have went right then and there, we would have ran into him because Seth, my ex-co-host, he was down there and he was all like, okay, I'm going to go over that way because I'm going to go meet up with some other people. He went over by there and he ran into the Rock. He was handing out Zoa energy drinks and Zoa shirts, Black Adam shirts, and a bunch of other shit.
He wasn't handing out the tequila, was he?
No, unfortunately, no. I would have loved that.
He was upcharging it, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was $17 a body shot or whatever.
Still bitter as fuck about that.
Oh, man.
Well, nice, man. Any other, I know you didn't get to see The Rock, but did you, any other celebrity sightings that you witnessed?
You see Rob Liefeld, he was over there. He's okay. Doing some signings. Nice. I'm not the hugest fan of him. He's kind of rubbed me the wrong
Deadpool,
way.
Deadpool, right?
No, it's not really that. He just rubbed me the wrong way of the way that he did my local comic shop owner. So he still technically owes him some stuff that he never paid for.
Okay.
Rob Liefeld, pay what you owe. Pay what you owe. You're too damn rich to be owing people.
Reminds me of that story, Dave, where you called out the comic guy.
Oh yeah, but I mean that was where I looked like an asshole though.
Correct. Still funny story though.
Still funny. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that might be a Patreon episode.
Let's talk about that a little bit later. Huh? Off air.
That is a rabbit hole. That is a rabbit hole.
That's a paywall. That's 100% a paywall. Okay, man. Well, let's jump out of some San Diego talk. Kevin, I know you want to rap about this Vader. I mean, Hot Toys had some news. We talked about it. Like, this is like the best week of like Hot Toy news, you know. So let's talk about this Vader here real quick, man.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like a couple weeks ago, we said, what in the world are they doing when they dropped all these cost babies? And everyone's like, oh my God, what? I think Hot Toys has lost their way. Inart is the new king of the castle. And everyone's like, well, just hold on. And then they dropped us some heat. You know, we got some Obi-Wan, you know, we got some Wolverine out of nowhere. And they're like, oh, these are pretty cool. But then last week is when they dropped all the goods, man. They dropped us Vader, not just Darth Vader, man, but this is the battle damaged open helmet Hayden Christensen rolling eyes, one of the best Star Wars Hot Toys figures I've ever seen. And I mean, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And even if they stopped there, I would have been all right, cool, hats off. But they kept going. They went ahead and dropped us some Toby action from No Way Home, so everyone's getting their new Spider-Man. People super hype about that. And once again, man, I could have said, you know what, hats off, way to go, this is cool, but they were still not done. Just like the ShamWow guy, just like Billy Mays, not done yet. They dropped fucking RoboCop. Who saw that coming? Now, I had literally done a video the week before saying, why are we getting Morbius and not RoboCop, you know, on the 35th anniversary? I literally did a video about that. And what do you know? We get fucking RoboCop. So I'm like, all right, Hot Toys, I see you. I see you. I see you working.
So it is that, that's not diecast, is it?
The RoboCop?
Yes.
I don't think so, because that would be rather heavy. I think the price point I saw officially went up on Sideshow, I think it's like $375.
Okay, which is, so that gives it away. Yeah. It's not die casting, because that'd be like $500 then.
It would, because all the Iron Men around that are well $500. That's a lot of that. So, I mean, but other than that, I mean, it looks good. But one of the things I think is silly that I just wanted to bring up about all these is that people start freaking out about these timed exclusives. And I'm just telling you all right now, there is no such thing as a timed exclusive when it comes to six scale. Everyone's like, oh my God, I got to hurry up and order this Obi-Wan. I got to order this Vader. It's only got 3 days left. I'm like, y'all, they're scamming you.
Yeah.
Because they're like, get your pre-order in now for something that's 2 years away so you can get, not the figure, an exclusive hologram figure. that is packed in the box, or a crushed Iron Man head to go with the box. It is just an extra accessory that will sit in the box once you get it. As I've said, mm-hmm. I'm not pre-ordering stuff anymore because there's no incentive to do so. This is not the incentive, y'all. It is a scam to try to make you get scared to say, oh no, I gotta hurry up and order. And then don't do that. So you have plenty of opportunity to pre-order this. We're 2 years out. Think about it. Put your money in play. Think about what you want to do, how you want to display it. And then once it gets closer, then drop that pre-order or just buy it outright. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know you've been mentioning that a lot lately. I kind of for that reason, I haven't pre-ordered anything yet. I'm not planning on getting the RoboCop. It looks great. It just, I mean, we talked about it. Like if I had a better situation with my DTOFs, basically I had more DTOFs and I could have a wide range of my different kind of fandoms displayed, I would be all over getting that RoboCop. But right now, I mean, he would just look weird with my 14 other Star Wars troopers or he might look pretty fucking cool, but yeah, so not getting that, but yeah, I definitely plan on getting the Vader. It that could be like the best hot toy I've seen all year. It looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, and I love what it's awkward because usually you get like this Vader and the deluxe would be the battle damage, you know. Sure. It's the other way around. If you want a clean Vader, that's the deluxe. So no matter what, I mean, you get at the base, you're getting a sick figure.
Yeah, what do you think of these, Gil?
Oh, dude, that Vader, if that, that's the one to own, man. Yeah. That
and a USB lightsaber now. That is the good thing. The USB lightsaber.
That's fucking awesome. That's pretty awesome. And I think that might actually be my first Star Wars hot toy because I don't have one yet. I only have like MCU and that's about it.
That'd be a hell of a one to get.
I didn't know if you had any Star Wars hot toys. So yeah, that could be, I mean, that'd be a good one to get for your first one.
Yeah, because I only have like the Gamerverse. Let me see, Gamerverse, MCU. And then you were talking about Mondo earlier. I have the Mondo 1/6 scale Kratos.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it.
That does look good too.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, like I said, could be a good one. My first one was Anakin. Dark Side Anakin, San Diego.
There you go.
So there you go, man. Kevin, what was your first hot toy?
Deadpool.
Holy shit, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got a Deadpool because most people don't really get into hot toys until you actually see one and hold one in your hand, you know?
Yeah, true.
And so I saw one at my local comic shop at Rick's Comic City, and I went through there probably about 3-4 weeks in a row and just kept looking at it, thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of money for a toy. Meanwhile, I was dropping, you know, hundreds on waves of 6-inch figures. I'm like, yeah, I can't afford a hot toy. As I'm walking out with $200 in Marvel Legends, yeah, I can't afford a hot toy. And but yeah, it was Deadpool.
Nice. I didn't know that, man. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. For some reason, I was thinking like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, of all things, I mean, Deadpool is kind of fitting for me,
the you have a few of the Pirates of the Caribbean ones. I thought that might have been one, but
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, good shit. Okay, well, let's pivot. So we got an interesting top three that
speaking of summer movies, right?
Yeah, we can run through. Yeah, so we're going to talk about, they don't have to be summer movies, but we're just saying vacation movies. So our kind of top three go-to vacation movies, whether it's you know, a movie that we like to, you know, we can kind of interpret this different ways, a movie you like to watch on vacation, or, you know, a movie that is centered around vacation. So that's the route that I went. But Gil, why don't you kick it off, man? You're our guest of honor here. So what's your number three, man?
My number three, Hangover.
Classic. Yeah, Hangover.
I love Hangover, man. Hangover is, I could just put it on at any time. And I always quote it. It's just, it's a classic, man.
It's I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. I ended up watching Old School, rewatching it.
Oh, I love Old School too.
it just started kind of getting me going about like generational movies like that. Like that one, you know, the one you just said, American Pie, Animal House. Dude, you can just get farther and farther down the line and see these kind of generational movies. And yeah, dude, the Hangover is definitely that for that era, man. That's such a fun film, dude. Do you like all of them? I don't even remember the sequel much. I mean, that was in Thailand, right?
Yeah, number one and number two were good. Number three was it was so-so, but number one and number two is where it's at.
Nice, man. Kevin, you a hangover guy? I mean, I know you like to get them, but I mean,
yeah, not so much anymore. It's either I'm completely dead to the world or nothing. But yeah, the first one, it starts to lose its appeal to me after the first one.
Sure. Maybe
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely captures like that era very well. Like you can kind of get transported to,
I mean, that's kind of what really made Zach G really take off, I think, is just hilarity and Ed Helms and, you know, Brad Cooper and all that stuff. So yeah.
Well, nice, man. That's a good one. All right. Kevin, number three, man.
Yeah. So I know we were talking a little bit that we could also do classic movies that we remember while growing up, I suppose, on vacation.
Yep.
So whenever we would go, like, I guess to Florida or whatever it would be, you know, because we're from Ohio. So we'd drive down to Florida and we would rent the van, or I guess we'd have the van. We'd take the seats out, real safe thing to do, you know, take the seats out, put sleeping bags in the floor and just drive in the drive in the van. I guess I don't know if people do that nowadays still, but we would always just put the pillows and the suitcases, all that stuff. And so we just sat in the floor of the van, you know, and drove to Florida. But we'd always have like a US or I guess a cigarette powered TV. That we'd put a TV and VCR that combo, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I have it. We've talked about
it. It's sitting probably on your desk right now. And so one of the things that I always remember is this is where I got my first crush, man, is watching Jessica Alba in Never Been Kissed. Okay. So like, because we had to watch some shows, you know, I want to put Star Wars on, you know, every single time when we're driving. But, you know, my sister, you know, my little sister would want to watch, you know, a good girl movie. You know, we'd watch Never Been Kissed. And so we'd be watching that movie and I'd be like, damn, who's that one girl? That girl's pretty hot, you know? And so it was Jessica Alba as like a 17-year-old, you know, high school girl. Let's say 18, so I don't sound like a freak. Some 18-year-old, you know, high school girl and Never Been Kissed, which is actually a pretty good movie. It's actually kind of funny.
I don't think I've seen that one, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Drew Barrymore where she's the goes undercover to a high school writing a story.
Yeah, that's probably like in the same vein as like Legally Blonde, right?
Yeah, kind of. Not award winning by any means.
Sure. Okay. I like it. I like it. Okay, number three for me. So I'm going with I got back to back kind of camping movies. We did a lot of camping. I mean, my vacations growing up were kind of mainly involved at a pop-up trailer kind of camping, you know, in some, you know, kind of a park or whatnot. So we did a lot of that, but Cabin in the Woods. So that's gonna be in my number three.
Okay.
this is one of those movies we talked about it often on the show. I'm a big proponent of this movie. Absolutely love the whole, you know, meta piece of it. You know, it's kind of just like a big you know, love letter to all things horror, 80s, 90s. I mean, it's covering it all. It's covering all the tropes. And I just love it all. Like the kind of, it's almost like an inside joke messaging and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, they're going to literally, it's kind of an Evil Dead trope, but they're going in a cabin in the woods. And yeah, so that's my number three. I love that movie. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're on a vacation, but you know, they start making a bunch of bad decisions and Chris Thor gets killed in a fucking motocross, fucking doing some nitro circus shit. Do you like Cabin in the Woods, Gil? I feel like you're a Cabin in the Woods guy.
I love Cabin in the Woods. I wish that we would have got a number two.
Yeah,
I do. They would have showed like the gods and everything like that. That would have been insane.
Yeah, every now and again, I'll just like Google, like, I think it was Drew Goddard or that did it. I'll just like Google him and like Cabin in the Woods sequel and like to see if there's any kind of chatter, and there's nothing.
A little shred of something.
Yeah, there's nothing. Kevin, I think you're a fan partially.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna sit there and say that's my like all timer by any means,
but on 4K.
No, but I mean it's a good fun. It's a good fun one. It's a good fun watch.
All right, Gil, what do you got? Number two, man.
Is it cool if I hit up two honorable mentions
of
stuff that I watched when I was younger?
Let's do it.
Chappelle Show DVD of season one. That's something that we always watch, and it was insane because like it was like my grandparents, my uncle's aunts, parents, and my cousins, everyone's sitting down watching it at the cabin that we would rent out over in Yosemite. And then Night of the Roxbury, we would usually watch that all the fucking time, every year, same thing too. Just, I love that movie.
those are all great to like, just get everyone laughing, you know, as long as, you know, mom and dad and everyone's cool, you know what I mean? It's fun, like having everyone laugh, you know, at stuff like that.
My number two is going to be a Goofy movie. Actually,
nice. I love that. My wife loves that.
Oh, the Goofy movie. Yeah.
The Goofy movie. Yes. Like fucking Powerline. Oh, yeah. Dude. Insane. I love those songs still. To this day, they get me fucking pumped. I'm 32 and I still get pumped from Powerline and the Goofy movie, like songs from there, the soundtrack.
Yeah. My wife is still singing those too.
That's one of the better like Mickey type movies out there.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, because actually has a good story. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shit, I didn't think that was gonna end up on a typical nerd talk. You know, the Goofy movie. Very nice, Gil. Nice. I like it, man. That's good shit.
And that was not on my bingo card.
I love it. Okay, Kevin. What do you got?
Yeah, well, going to another vacation type movie that we also watched on vacation, ladies and gentlemen, one of Bill Murray's best is What About Bob? A Vacation from My Problems.
I can sail.
Yeah, I sail now. But no, it's one of my favorites. I mean, just Richard Dreyfuss is at his best. Bill Murray is at his best. I mean, it is just the most ridiculous show ever. And like, just to see the whole story of one mental patient turn normal and the other one that is the helper just completely fall apart. I mean, it's perfect. It's an absolutely perfect film. And What About Bob, man?
That's I wouldn't dare insult it and say it's an underrated film. Like, I know it has you know, there's a lot of people that really love the film, but like, there's also, you know, I could ask like my parents right now, you know, about that movie, and they probably haven't even seen it, you know what
which
I mean?
Is crazy because my parents love it and they're the ones that like got me into it, and they like lose their shit still. That part where he's like jumping up on him trying to get him to unlodge the thing stuck in his throat, it's like, jump higher, use your knee more, and he's like, whoa, they just think that is the funniest thing ever. But man, it's a good one.
Yeah, that's I gotta add that on the Letterboxd for a rewatch. Gil, are you a fan of that one?
Yeah, it's a good one. I remember watching that when I was younger.
Yeah, not to mention his fish's name, Gil. Yeah.
It's one of those movies where I get like anxiety kind of watching it, just because there's so many like awkward social situations, and I'm like, oh no, he's really gonna do it, you know, like shit like that. Oh man. Okay. My number two, this is starring another Ghostbuster. Okay. So we got another Ghostbuster entering, the top three here. And, we're going with Uncle Dan, something that Uncle Dan was in, Dan Aykroyd, and, The Great Outdoors, man.
Okay. I was going to think about that. Yeah.
And, you know, starring, it was once rumored that John Candy was going to be in Ghostbusters as Rick Moranis. Yeah, his role.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would have been very different, you know, annoying neighbors, you know, Rick or John Candy. But anyways, that movie's incredible. I mean, you can just quote it all day long. There's so many funny scenes in that movie with both John Candy and Dan Aykroyd. I mean, everyone is great in it. It's the typical lake, you know, summertime movie. You know, they're coming from the suburbs and they want to get some, you know, they go to this small little lake town. I don't know if they're in Michigan, maybe. They're somewhere in Midwest. But yeah, dude, it's great, man. I love that movie. You guys are, what's your thoughts on Great Outdoors?
I've never watched it. Don't kick me off. I'm sorry.
You got to check that out, and I want a full review from you when you're done. I want to hear your thoughts. It's great, and you can definitely watch it with the whole family.
All right, for sure. I'll check it out. I'll let you know.
Kevin, you hold that film pretty high up there, don't you?
I do. Anything with Candy is really special to me. It's a shame, you know, that we lost him. I just wish we could have seen more stuff, you know, from that. But yeah, between him and Another Comedic Genius with Dan is fantastic. I'm actually trying to find, it was in Wisconsin, by the way.
I happened to
look that up here on the official website. If you're looking for that, you might run into a lot of great outdoor stores, which I was running into here. So, but on the official wiki, it is Wisconsin.
Yeah. And like, I just love the Uncle Roman, that's his name. His like theme music, like whenever he's like showing up on screen, or like, you know, he's driving to the cabin and it cuts to him driving, and they just play this like real like saxophony, like Burmer, like you could just tell, like, okay, this guy's, you know, he's something. He's a force to be reckoned with. And Roman's a trip. That's my number two. Gil, why don't you bring it home, man? Number one, what do you got, sir?
Number one, forgetting Sarah Marshall. I love that movie. I'm such a sucker for it. Mila Kunis, had the hugest crush on her growing up. Jason Segel, fucking hella funny. It's just something that I watch with my wife, like pretty much annually now at this point. My mom watches it. My brothers watch it. Like, we used to always watch it growing up. So I don't know. Just for whatever reason, I got a weird tie to it or whatever like that. I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, I've been rewatching that thing like a few times a year since like I was like 15 or so.
Nice, 16, man.
Whenever it came out. Yeah.
Steve Zahn, is he in that one? Is that what I'm thinking of with Jack Black and Steve Zahn?
No.
Okay. What am I thinking of? Where like they're and it's the guy from American Pie, and he's got like a girlfriend that's just,
is that Euro Trip or Road Trip?
Oh man, it's gonna drive me nuts. I'm gonna have to look it up. But that's what I'm thinking of when you said Sarah forgetting Sarah Marshall. So I don't think I've seen that one.
It's pretty good. It's pretty funny.
Miley Kunis is the main actor in it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's in it. Jason Segel's in it,
and Kristen Bell. Let's not forget that.
Kristen Bell, yes.
Yeah, that's my sweetie.
Russell Brand is in it. Jonah Hill, back when he's still kind of chunky, he's in it.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is in it. Yes, he is.
Oh, that's a slapping the bass, right?
Yeah. Yes. Is it that movie?
Okay. Okay.
The bass.
Right. I was thinking of Saving Silverman. That's a movie. Oh, okay, I got mixed up for some reason.
Gotcha. That's my number one, man. I love that movie.
Nice, man. Good pick. Kevin, what do you got, dude?
Yeah, so to bring it home,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
It really is, man. It really is. It's Pirates of the Caribbean, mainly for this reason, because it was my dad's favorite show. Is so funny to me. He had a lot of substance issues, you know, towards the end of his life and such. But one of the things that he loved whenever he, you know, was just in bed, just kind of not feeling well, he would always put on Pirates. He would always do that. But whenever we'd go on vacation, you know, he would still leave us on the beach and go to, I'll never forget this. He left us on the beach to go to a movie theater that was showing Pirates of the Caribbean, because it was right around that year it came out.
Sure.
And so he left us on the beach to go watch Pirates of the Caribbean on vacation. That's how much he loved it.
Right.
He might also have been, you know, getting high, you know, while I was there, but it doesn't matter. either way, it was just, it's always going to be something that I remember that he just loved. And it was important to us, you know, because you go to the beach, you see pirates, especially if you go like around, you know, Florida and that Florida area. Yeah. Such, so it was so much fun. And so yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean will always be the vacation movie.
Yeah,
there's still pirates in Florida.
Well, yeah, I think, well, not like actual pirates, but there's lots of little pirate ships that float around on for tourists and stuff like that.
I could see that ending up on like a lot of people's lists, probably. Like that definitely seems like a family vacation. Hey, we're on vacation. We're in the hotel or whatever, you know, let's, you know, buy a movie off of the hotel, you know, TV or whatever. And like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, I get that for sure, man. That's classic. I'm trying to get the kid, our kids just quite aren't there yet to like get it. Cause it can be a little slow. Like I think we started watching the first one and like 10 minutes into it, Connor's like, when are the boring parts over? You know, like,
you gotta love that.
Yeah. Okay. So mine, I'm kind of cheating here, boys, a little bit. And I just worked in the whole franchise, but it's the National Lampoon Vacation movies. Specifically the original and the Christmas Vacation isn't really, you know, it's, I guess it's Cousin Eddie's Vacation, but you know, they're all great. The Vegas one's hilarious. I'm not much of the Ed Helms reboot one. I think that's technically, like, I guess that's canon, right? Because that's Rusty, right?
I certainly don't consider that canon.
I mean, it's not, but I think
technically.
Yeah. Right.
Well, The Last Jedi isn't quotes. Canon to me either.
Oh, boy.
I mean, The Last Jedi's not canon to me either. So, I mean, do we really want to go down this rabbit hole?
Oh, boy. We got 5 minutes left. yeah. So, I mean, real quick. Yeah. I would just like the classic OG one. You know, he's trying to get his family out there. And it's just hilarious. I mean, everything hits different, too. Like, I loved the movie growing up. And then now as a dad, like, I really love the movie because I kind of see it from, you know, Clark's point of view a little bit more clear now on just certain things, you know, like, holy shit, where's fucking Tylenol? Like, all of it. It's great. Chevy Chase is full Chevy Chase in that one.
You serious about that, Clark?
It's good shit, dude. So that was that's my number one. If you guys were to rank, like, what's your favorite one in that?
Of the nine that we heard?
No. In the National Lampoon's vacation movies. OG, are you a Christmas?
It'll all be Christmas for me. Always Christmas.
I think OG for me is my favorite.
It's a season to be Mary. My name's Mary. No shit.
I feel like the OG one is I agree with you there too, Gil. That's probably my preferred one, but like, I watch Christmas more because, you know, it's just mandatory.
It's so iconic. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I got to rewatch Christmas because, like, honestly, the last time I watched it was probably about like 10 years ago.
Okay. See,
which is probably a travesty.
Yeah. That's on a constant rotation every year. That's like, we kick off Christmas with that one. That one's up there with what's the one you like? Jingle All the Way.
That is the greatest Christmas movie on the planet.
Oh, man. You can still get all those.
I love Jingle All the Way. Turbo Man.
I almost lost a co-host in Kevin when I told him that I never saw that movie before.
Yeah, we had a whole episode called Civil War where we just fought about Jingle.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a classic.
all those Turbo Man still in Walmart for a nickel, probably. They're going to be at Ross probably for Christmas time.
Ross,
$12.99.
There you go. Okay, so that's our top three. Do you guys want to do anything you guys can recommend on that you've seen on the old the movies? Gil, we do the letterbox thing, and we kind of just like wrap real quick about anything that we've seen in the last few weeks. But have you seen anything that you either liked or, you know, hate it or whatnot?
What should I call it? On Netflix, it's a horror movie, I think, if I'm not mistaken, out of Taiwan, called, I want to say, Enchantment.
Okay. Or Sadness?
No, Enchantment.
Okay.
It's a horror movie, almost like a found footage, Blair Witch Project type of thing.
Okay.
Always love a good found footage.
Yeah, so it's really good. And then at the end, you could either watch it with subs or you could watch it dub, up to you. It's really good. It's about a 2-hour movie. Had my kids spooked.
Nice.
Couple jump scares that are pretty good and legit, not, you know, those bullshit jump scares. So it's a pretty good movie.
And that's on Netflix, eh?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, I'll add that to the
If you're on TikTok, a lot of people have been doing reactions and this and okay. that to it. That's how I found out about it. Like, I try not to go on TikTok too much, but then, you know, I seen it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll give it a try. And it was a great fucking movie. I like it a lot.
Nice. Kev, man, you check anything out?
Can I give you a high and a low?
Let's do it.
Well, I was because we love our Letterboxd box score. That's a great staple of this pod. And one of the things that I have to say as a PSA, I went ahead and reviewed my first movie on the Letterboxd. And I was like, I cannot believe I'm wasting. I will read this for you, is that I cannot believe I wasted my time and on this review to actually put it on here, because there are two movies that I've seen that are this bad. One was Midsommar, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. But this, that was pointlessly stupid. This one was so bad, and I don't know how it got like off the cutting room floor and why anyone said this is a good idea to put out.
Ready to roll.
But it was recommended by Hulu. Hulu recommend, this is our July Hulu recommendation. Please check out, as it said, Room 203. Room 203 is what it was on Hulu. One of the worst movies ever. And I said, shame that my first review on that on this app is this movie. I just wanted to use this as a PSA to save people 2 hours and not let Hulu's recommendations waste your time. I'm going to go watch Love Island now. Also, poor Ian. My man just wanted the girl at the end and unceremoniously got covered with a moldy blanket. That was my review on Room 203. Wow. Terrible. One star.
I laughed out loud when I saw that. I was like, that can't be his first review. Yep, it was.
It sure was. But then I actually left a second review on a movie I gave 4.5 stars.
Okay,
Dave.
There you go.
That being yesterday, we got a recommendation from one of Amy's clients. Usually, whenever we get those, are usually hit and miss. You know, they're either great or they're terrible. But this one was great. It is a Korean horror film called The Wailing, 2016. Mm. Very, very good. So if you can just read subtitles, one of the better horror movies out there, lots of good twists and turns. It's what a horror movie should be. And, I thought it was great.
Very nice. Yeah, I'll have to check that one out too. And, yeah, but both of you guys coming with the international horror. Wow, didn't see that coming at all, because I don't even have any horror on mine. Well, I guess I kind of do. So, all right. It's been a minute. I've wanted to watch the scary movies.
Right,
I mean, I haven't seen these since they came out, and I'll just give my review on a scary movie. Doofy fucking a vacuum cleaner is worth the viewing alone. I said, don't disturb me while I'm cleaning my room. I mean, that was like the fucking funniest part. There's some really funny parts in it. Don't expect, you know, like Will Ferrell, you know, level comedic chops here, but like, if you just want like a slapstick movie and you're a fan of horror, like you just can't get disappointed in like the scary movie franchise. I mean, it gets the job done. So that's been fun rewatching those. But one movie that I've been excited about watching for a while, you know, when Bill Paxton died a year or two ago, I kind of was like, you know what? I want to watch all this guy's, his entire filmography, you know? So I started kind of going down the journey of watching everything that he's done. And I found a horror movie, one of his first horror movies in 1983 called Mortuary. Have any of you guys seen this movie?
I did not, but I saw your Letterboxd review.
Okay. Gil, you haven't, right?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. So, I mean, it's got the classic like VHS cover art that like would make you, if you saw this at, you know, your local family run, you know, video store.
Blockbuster.
This would probably, you know, get your eye caught a little bit, because it's cool. It's, you know, Hank coming out of the grave kind of whatnot. But yeah, Bill Paxton's in it, and, you know, spoilers and everything. He's the main killer. And oh man, I wanted to like it so much, but I think it's one of those movies that's just so bad that it's kind of found like a following a little bit, but like, it's not a good movie at all. I mean, it was pretty tough to like actually get all the way through it, but yeah, you get to see goofy ass Bill Paxton, like, you know, seeing him doing all the like the weird things that like he does later on in his career is kind of, you know, his style of acting, if you will, and seeing it very raw as it's, you know, one of his first films that he's made. So that was worth watching. But yeah, I only gave that a star and a half. It was pretty rough.
Hey Dave, I'm sorry. It was I got to correct, the name is Incantation. I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want to do anybody a disservice with them looking up some other BS. So, and I guess if I had to rate it out of 5 stars, is that what it is?
Yeah. Yep.
I would give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Okay. Awesome, man. Yeah, I have heard of that. I think I even have that on my like my Netflix, you know, like recommended list. I've seen it
highly recommend it.
Okay.
Both the international films coming strong from both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to water it down with a Scary Movie and Mortuary.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, man. Well, Gil, this is awesome, man. Thank you again for coming on the show. We'll have to do it again, man. Can you, let all of our listeners, I know we probably got some cross, listeners that listen to, both of our shows and whatnot, but any of the new listeners, tell them where they can find you, man.
Yeah. Well, you guys, thank you so much for having me on and, accommodating my schedule, because I know that you guys don't usually, record on a Monday. So I appreciate that first and foremost. So thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
And my name's Gil. You can follow me at Black Hole Comics myself. I do a little bit of toy photography, a little bit of that, a little bit of reviews. A
little bit of selling, a little bit of selling.
Yes, sir. Also at Black Hole Comic Shop. Yes, sir. I have a podcast. We're called The Geek Out Show, and we're just, a couple of dudes that talk about anime, manga, comics, TV, movies, collectibles, action figures, a little bit of everything. So yeah, that's at The Geek Out Show on all social media.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And loving what you guys are doing over there. I mean, all of the people that you have on your other shows, whether it's, the Rotten Celluloid guys and Jade and Heath, like everyone is just awesome over there. Major. You guys are great, dude.
Yeah. And we just started a D&D campaign not too long ago, and now we're doing that exclusively on YouTube, our D&D campaign.
Very. Who's the dungeon master?
Matt is major reaction. Nice. The first episode, I think all of us were drunk, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Kevin and I are in. Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun. But yeah, it's been a blast, man, doing that.
Last thing before you go, are you hyped about the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Yeah, actually I am. Okay. I'm really pumped about that. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't play D&D yet. So I was a little taken back by some of it. It looked almost a little too tongue-in-cheek for me. But as long as a faithful D&D person enjoys it and they said it's going to be true to what it is, I think that most people were super hype about the Black Tar Spitting Dragon. So that looked pretty good.
Yeah, this is actually my first campaign. I've always wanted to do it. I just haven't found anybody, willing to accommodate like a new person. And pretty much all of us are new other than that. So
that's great, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good shit. So that's episode 77 or episode one, however we wanna or you wanna cut that. We'll figure out what we're doing next week. But again, thank you everyone to that's been listening and supporting the show. Please help us out with those reviews. Get our reach out to other people, tell a friend, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. So Gil, thanks again. Kevin, see you, buddy. See you guys.
Peace out, everybody.
See you later.
See ya. Later.